All right, we have nursery today?
We have any five and under?
Kaylee's already got Isaiah back there, so she's good. I said Kaylee's already got Isaiah back there, so she's good.
Is he the only one?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what a beautiful song, isn't it? Yeah, I tell you, I can't always but help but remember my dad. My dad was a very smart and wise person, but dad was no nonsense. And I know I've told you all these stories many, many times, but I threatened to leave home twice. My dad packed me, got it all ready, and sent me out the door. Gave me $5. He said, "Now the world's tough, but I got faith in you. You'll make it." He said, "By the way, your mother and I are having a meatloaf and mashed potatoes for dinner tonight. You can find out wherever you find something to eat, wherever you can." And I remember that just like it was yesterday. Of course, I left. I was gone 30 minutes. Came back. That's the best meatloaf I ever put in my mouth. And that was the trouble with my dad. He knew that I was not a skinny kid. I depended on food. Plus, I loved food. And, you know, that's the first thing he threatened me with was to take mom's cooking away from me. Now, that's a shame. That really is. That's playing below the belt, in my opinion. And then when I got old enough to drive, you know, he would take the keys away from me when I did something wrong. And then he'd make me wash the car. I couldn't drive it, but I had to wash it. And I'm going to tell you the ultimate, and I mean this, it took me for years through therapy to forgive my dad this. I was a senior in high school. And there were some times that even, you know, I was able to take Monica to school with me too. We were dating a little bit then. It's always, you know, them girls go for them guys that got cars, you know, and that's that. I knew she didn't care for me, but I had an automobile 442, baby. They didn't make them on every corner. But I did something to make him mad. He took the keys away. I'm 17 years old, and guess what I had to do? He made me get on a school bus. I was a senior in high school. I hadn't been on a school bus in 3 years. Walked me to the bus and made me get on that bus when I had a perfectly good, beautiful Chickmobile sitting in that driveway, and I had to get on that bus. That's the kind of father I had. You know why I did it? Because I called him a name. Give my dad a round of applause. I never called him that no more. Oh, my goodness gracious. But you know, dads in the world we live in today, good Christian men. Let me say this. You don't have to father children to be a father. Let me say that right off the bat. We've got some wonderful men in this country who have not fathered children, but are some of the greatest fathers on this planet. We got uncles. We got brother-in-laws. We've got cousins. We've got people who maybe did not father a child, but they love children. And they make sure that whenever they're around children, that they are treated with respect and love. They play ball with them. They run with them. They go with them. They help them with school. So let me just say, this is not all about just because you may have fathered a child. This is about men who care about children and their family. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, in the world that we live in today, believe me, this world is beyond anything I've ever seen. Totally different world when I grew up. When I grew up, yeah, were there bad things? I'm sure that there were, but I could play in my yard, I could go up the street, I could ride my bicycle, I could leave home. I wasn't in jail. Today, you almost have to keep your kids in jail because you don't never know what's going to happen if they step off your property anymore. It's unreal at the crimes against children that's going on this planet. Against children! We have to keep an eye on them. You can't relax 1 minute if you have a child. You better keep your eye on them at all times. And then when they get to be teenagers and, you know, they sort of want their independence and they're pulling away from you and you're pulling to them, you know what's out there. You know what's tempting them. What's around the corner. Next week, we're going back to start this series on addiction. Let me tell you, folks, it is horrible what this generation coming up today is seeing and facing. Now, I'm not saying that my generation and some of the even ones who are older than me generation didn't face issues, not like what's on the planet today. Now, here's what this tells me. This puts a lot of pressure on parents today, puts a lot of pressure on grandparents today, because we have to keep an eye at all times on what's going on. We're in the cell phone age, where they all got phones now. And some would say, well, that helps us stay in contact with them. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm not here to defend that one way or the other. I know one thing, when my cell phone breaks down, I can't fix it. I give it to Annie. Now that's the truth. I mean, it just gets over my head sometimes. You know, I mean, this thing is crazy what all it'll do. I want to say hello. Now, I do one thing that I do love about this stuff now, Dad, gets on to this now. You know, this deal thing here, you know what I'm saying here. Okay, we do it while we drive. All that other kind of nonsense. You know, I never seen thumbs to be so fast in all of my born days. Well, I never could even spell to begin with. So obviously I can't use my thumbs to do all that, but now I speak into it. I said, hey, this is to Marcia. Marcia, how are you doing? Are you good? Have you been mean to Calvin today? Something along those lines.
You got a proofread.
But wait a minute. There have been times I didn't proofread it. One time I didn't send it to Marcia. I sent it to Mary. Mary sent me back. Who's Calvin? So yeah, I mean, it's all relative. But we all understand the world we live in today is all about technology. And technology is crazy. What it does, what it can do. Kids don't go outside no more. Why go outside? There ain't nothing out there. Well, I want a computer. I want a phone. That's what it's all about. Now, my kids didn't really come across phones until they were older teenagers. And then they were just coming out. I mean, they were this big. So, you know, they didn't carry them around. The other day, so help me, I saw a toddler playing a game on a phone and doing it quite well. 2 years old, playing a game on a phone. And you know why? Because it kept him from crying. You know what, when I cried at 2 years old? Here's what, and this is just a difference. And I say this, but I'm not saying that my generation or my parents were wrong or right. I'm not defending. I'm just saying this way I grew up. If I cried, they said, well, let's give you a good reason. Because I don't want you to cry for no reason. So let's give you a good reason. See, that's how I came up. So I didn't cry unless I had a good reason. And I mean, they gave me a reason to sometimes. You know, it's all about love. And dads, let me just say to you, and grandpas, understand how much we here at Cove Baptist Church love you and respect you. We've got men here who are up in age that are raising children. Some of them are not here today. That's because they've got them all on vacation. Can you imagine 70 years old taking 8 kids on vacation? Lord. I know. And half of them are under the age of 4. But that's the world we live in today. We live in today to where we've got fathers and grandfathers, you know, and grandfathers especially, that are having to help provide for their children because of circumstances within their own personal family. That's bad. That's just a nice way of saying, you know what I'm trying to say. Thank God for grandfathers that are willing to step in. 55, 60, 70, 80, whatever it takes. Understand this one thing. If you're here today, and you're a man, and you're a husband, and you're a father, Are you a person who helps with children? You let them know that Jesus is Lord of your life. We love you for that. We respect you for that. All that you do, from the hours that you put in, to see that there's food on the table for your children and your grandchildren, and that there's clothes on their back that they have to have, and there's a roof over their head, and there's a car that you can take them to, and at times that you even have to discipline them. We honor every dad that's in that role. Give them a hand. Wonderful book here called God's Survival Guide. There's not actually a section in here on Father's Day, but there is a section in here I'm going to read part of that I think really sums up some of the challenges that we have today as parents and as fathers, especially since it's your dad. Listen closely. Every child is different, Dad. You got one, you got 10. They're all different, and they all got to be handled in different ways. But every child is similar in this respect. He or she is a priceless gift from the Father above. And with the Father's gift comes immense responsibility for moms and dads alike. We got people that enjoy the aspect of bringing a child into the world, guys. But want nothing to do with that child once that child comes into the world. And I can't think of anything more greater than any father on this planet is going to answer for. Is to father a child and leave that child fatherless when they meet Jesus. But that may not apply to any man in this room. But there's people that watch me on the internet. Listen to me closely. I promise you this, there's not anything on this planet that you'll answer to God more. Jesus loved children. You understand that? He loved children. Even on those difficult days when the house, let's see if this describes your home. Even on those difficult days when the house is in an uproar, the laundry is piled sky high, and the bills are piled even higher. Wise dads never forget their overriding goal, shaping young minds and hearts. The very best of dads shape those minds with love, discipline, and with God's amazing grace. You believe that? Ain't nobody in here says this is easy. This writer here does not say that this is easy. But he says, this is the biblical way. Real quick, some advices. Jesus says the greatest of these. He said, come as a child, didn't he? You remember that? Let me tell you something. Jesus loved children. His disciples, and sometimes kids would come to run around Jesus, and they'd try to shoo him off. Get away, you don't have time. He told his disciples right to their face, don't ever do that again. When a child wants to come to me, you let that child come to me. Believe me. Don't harm a child. You listen to the internet world? Don't harm a child. And there's a difference between discipline a child and hurting a child. You hurt a child, you wait till God gets to you. Don't do that. I don't care what the circumstance is. If you can't control your temper, you walk away and you get your mind set. I understand. Children will push you. They will push you. They're living on your master. They're children. They'll do that. I don't care whether they're 2 or 42. They will get on your nerves. I'm sure. I got on my parents' nerves all the time. Just 3 days before my mother died, she said, you're getting on my nerves. I said, well, you're getting on my nerves too. That's the kind of relationship we had. She said, you're getting on my nerves. I said, well, what am I in love? You're on my nerves too. Didn't mean I didn't respect her. But that's just what it is. But understand this. We don't live in a perfect world. But you never forget that children are a gift. Even on the worst of days, don't forget. Does it mean they don't need discipline? There's a right way to do it. Make sure you learn that through God's wonderful grace. writer says, as dads, we need to teach by example. Isn't that wonderful? Your kids watch you. They say what you say. Isn't that scary? They act like you, and they think that's what they're supposed to do. Huh? Yeah. Let me tell you something. The older they get, kids are smart. They know. Watch what you do, what you say, where you go. I understand. Little eyes, little hands. Well, some days become big hands and big people. Teach by example. Maybe in the world we live in today, this may be at the very top of the list. Do the very best that you can to provide a safe environment for your children. They're not safe at school. Let me tell you that right now. They're not safe on the playground. They may not even be safe at a friend's house. But they better be safe at your house with your hands are tied. Now that doesn't mean you can watch them every second. Believe me, I know this. Alright? Especially if you're a grandparent and you got a 2 or 3 year old running around. You couldn't even keep up with them when you were 30. Much less when you're 70. But all I'm saying is provide an atmosphere. Provide a place to where there's love in the home. Because where there's love, more likely it'll be safe. Doesn't mean a perfect home. I'm not asking you to provide a perfect home. There's no such thing. But I'm asking you, by God's grace and through His help, you provide a safe home. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Watch and listen. You can learn more. My parents learned more about me around the dinner table. Number one, they'd ask questions. How was your day? How are your friends? How was the teacher? What did you learn? Just stuff like that. And, you know, I would talk. As I got older, I got tired of stupid questions. But it didn't make no difference to them. Because I've said many times, and this is the God's honest truth, and what's the word I'm looking for? It shows how stupid I was, but still, this is true. From the time I turned about 15 years old, my parents were stupid. And I mean with a capital S. But when I turned about 24 or 25, I don't know what happened to them. They must have went back to school and got a doctor's degree. Because then all of a sudden they become some of the smartest people on the planet. Because once I get to be a certain age, I don't need their help no more. I don't need their guidance. I don't need their advice. I'm old enough. Of course, if I get in trouble, I still want them to bail me out. I still want their money. I want their cars. I want to live under their house. I want an allowance. I want all of that, but I don't want no advice. I had one rule. Now, I talk about my dad a lot. Now, my mom played a different role. Moms are different. After Dad got done with the lecture, Mom would come and say, "I agree with your dad." But, there's always a but. I'm your mother. Give Mom's a hand of applause. Now, that didn't mean that Mom undermined Dad. No, she didn't. She just wanted to make sure when Dad was on me so hard that I didn't know whether or not I was loved. See, Mom's nurture. Dads are more the protectors and the ones that make the living and some of that kind of stuff. But I understand this. You know, when Dad said something, that's the way it was. I couldn't discuss it with him. We couldn't debate it if I didn't try. He said that this is no debate. This is my home. When you live in it, you'll have everything that you need plus. But you want to respect it. When you don't respect it, you don't respect your mother. Then you don't. And that's the way it is. I love you. I'd do anything in the world for you, son. I would die for you. But you're not going to disrespect me. And I raised my two into this day. Stephanie's had to move back home with us a little bit, even though she's got her own home now. But she knows when she walks in that door at 34 years of age, and even though she's fighting cancer, this is our home. She plays by our home. And she knows that from the first time she walks in the door. And I do not apologize for that. Give the Lord a hand of applause. So, we understand what the role is all about. But, listen and watch closely. Because you don't ever know what your child's going through. We live in a world today where children are bullied beyond imagination. And I don't care whether it's a private school or a public school. You don't know what these kids see, what these kids face. We've got some people here to deal in the school system. Chris is a school bus driver. Some of the stories that Chris has told me is absolutely beyond my imagination of what kids today see, what they are. They are a product of dads and moms who have dumped them to the wayside. And these kids are wild. They are literally raising themselves. I tell a lot of Chris, that's God's truth. I mean, this man's been threatened. I mean, I don't care if there's no respect out here today. Now, I'm not saying that's all kids, and that's not. But let's look at reality, folks. We've got children that are in harm's way. We need to be praying for children and teenagers today like never before. Because they are being killed, or they're being recruited for gangs. And maybe you live in a naive world, but I'm telling you, this is the way that it is today. We need God's amazing grace more today than even before. And we need dads today that are willing to stand up and say, I am going to make sure that my child sees Christ in me. Now when they get 18, they get out on their own, they leave home, there ain't a whole lot left there you can do other than keep praying for them. You've done all that you can do. But provide a place for them to come back home if they need it. My dad always told me when I left home, he said, you can come back. Need you. As long as I've got a home, you've got a home. But the day you walk in this house, remember one thing, this is not your house and your home, this is my home. And as a parent, my job is to allow you to come in here, but you will respect me and you will play by my rules. And I don't care if you're 85 years old and I'm 100. That's the way it is. But I'll always see that you have a home as long as you respect me the day you walk in. See, there's no respect. There's no respect. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is into respect. But let me tell you something. Not only do your kids need to respect you, but let's try respecting them. And this does go both ways. I understand. In the world we live in today, dads, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what you do. But believe me, we have children today whose dads, they don't know who it is. Never had a dad in their life. Never had a man in their life. And no wonder there's more gangs out here today than ever before because that's how they recruit these guys. They recruit these young men. Because they say, we can be your parents. We'll look after you. We'll provide for you. And that's how they get them in there. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's been that way for 2,000 years, and it's still that way today. Never forget. This is a beautiful saying I've read that Monica pointed out to me. 4 years, my daddy can do anything. 7 years, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. 12 years, oh well, naturally fathers does not know, not either. 14, old father, he is hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years, oh, that man, he is out of date. 25, he knows a little bit about it. Not much. At 30, I must find out what dad thinks about it. 35, before we decide, we will get dad's idea first. 50, what would dad have thought about it? At 60, my dad knew literally everything. 65, and I wish they could talk to me. Is that the truth? Give them what I have. Let's look at our scripture real quick, and then we will close it out. Now, someone would say, why in the world would you use this scripture on Father's Day? Let me explain to you. Make a joyful noise unto God, all your lands. Serve God with gladness. Come before His presence and ascending. We need fathers. We need men who love coming to church and praising God. Know ye that God, He is God. Know this day. It is He that has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Men, remember that. Go ahead, Larry. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him, and bless His name. We need fathers to enter the gates. For God is good. His loving kindness endureth forever. And His faithfulness unto all generations. Daddy, do you well to read that every day. Understand. Be thankful for your children, your home, your wife, your family. And if any of that doesn't apply to you, you still be thankful. Be thankful for your life. Men, we love you. Thank you for being here today. Please stay on. Is every head bowed and every eye is closed? Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to come to you in prayer. Father, I'm thankful for everyone that's here, but especially our dads, our men. I pray, Father, that you'll be with them. They have an ultimate challenge. We have grandfathers here that are helping to raise grandchildren. Father, I pray for them as well. And Father, we have good dads that are not here, that are on vacations with their families, and we pray for a safe return. But Father, we have dads that are just not here, that just choose not to come. They need prayer most of all. Father, the world we live in today, we need godly parents and people who care. Father, I thank you and praise you. Be with this invitation. If there be one person here that's lost, may they come and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. And let me introduce you to Jesus today. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your lifetime. Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar. We're going to invite you to come. Remember, God's grace is amazing. In Jesus' holy name we pray. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?